We started 2 weeks ago a piece from the Tzemach Tzedek on the Inyan of Tefillin, the Inyan of Davening. We're going to probably finish this piece next week, and after that I decided we're going to spend the entire summer learning Reb Tzadik. You could spend that for the a whole Yovel and just barely touch it, but we'll spend maybe 2 weeks about him. The person is we have very little information about Reb Tzadik. He hardly spoke. And we know very little about his life, but as far as his teachings are concerned, there's a great deal. So we're going to spend time on that. But let me review what we did so far on this piece on Tefillah. It's a very, very important introduction to the Chassidish review of Tefillah Bechlal. And we'll continue. We'll finish up at least Reish Ayin Vav. Let me tell you what we're talking about so far. On Reish Ayin Dalet, Tzemach Tzedek had started by saying, By quoting a remarkable medrash that says that there's a certain malach, there's an angel. This malach is from the highest, most powerful of the angels, and this malach creates, ties crowns to Hashem through the tefillos of the Jewish people. Then, when the Jewish people daven, those tefillos of the Jewish people are then attached. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're made into crowns and they're attached to Hashem. And we haven't yet explained the exact meaning of that medrash. But we spoke about so far, the Tzemach Tzedek was explaining so far. The Tzemach Tzedek began by explaining the difference between a bracha and tefillah. I'm just reviewing for 5 minutes. The difference between bracha and tefillah. Bracha, he said, we see by Yaakov Avinu and by other tzaddikim that when they gave brachas, is ishkir berchasa, which means that everybody was blessed in accordance to his bracha. And the meaning of that is that the purpose of a bracha is not to create something new. The purpose of a bracha is to draw into a person's life those blessings, those brachas that are already above. And Hashem has given us the power through brachas to draw those blessings into our lives. That's a bracha. Whereas when it comes to davening is different. Davening is more remarkable. And the best way to sum up davening, the Tzemach says, with the two words Yehi Ratzon. And Yehi Ratzon means that davening has the power, tefillah. When we daven, we have the power through our tefillah to be mamshich a Ratzon chadash. In other words, it's as if, so to speak, Hashem was not planning something for you. Again, we're not getting to the area of free choice and God's foreknowledge. That's not for now. But there wasn't something that was for you. But through davening, Yehi Ratzon means that you can create a Ratzon in Hashem to give that to you. You can create a desire. And the word ratzon is the same letter as the word sinor. Sinor means a pipe or a conduit. That every Jewish person has the power, through tefillah, to open up a new pipeline, to create a new sinor, a new conduit, to bring into your life something that was not originally on the schedule. It wasn't there. And the question is, how is that accomplished through davening? How does davening do that? So the Tzemach Tzedek explained, again, I'm just reviewing, the Tzemach Tzedek explained, The pasuk says that Lev Melachim Ein Cheker. That means that in general there's a rule in creation that kings, human kings, do not necessarily pay attention to the daily needs of simple people from the far reaches of the kingdom. Now, the way that a simple person can awaken within the king some interest, as Tzemach Tzedek said, is by coming to the king with something extraordinary and something new. So even though if you would speak to the king would not be particularly interested because you're a nobody. You know, if you're standing in line, you say, Your Majesty, it doesn't make a difference. But he gave the example that if you would bring a bird that talks, a parakeet or something amazing, and the king sees this, then the king will be fascinated by this novel thing. And for that moment, you could capture his attention. You could grab the king's attention. I mean, Mela, once the king is interested and excited by what you're showing and by what you have, there's something new over here. You're not coming with the same, you know, you're just not a regular guy saying regular things, but there's something different and there's something new. So you can get the attention of the king. And then you could already petition the king and ask for what you need. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains that kivyochel, so it is with Hashem. Angels in the higher world are certainly on a more exalted spiritual level. But when an angel seeks the presence of God, there's nothing extraordinary about that. Since an angel is a spiritual entity, And as it says in the Medrash, it says in the Gemara in Shabbos, Klum Yesh Bechem Yetzahara, an angel does not have any evil inclination. There is nothing that's pulling an angel away from holiness. There's no reason why an angel would not seek God's presence. Therefore, a human being, on the other hand, a human being who is struggling all the time with his Yetzahara, a human being whose sustenance comes from eating and from drinking, from physical things, but a human being who is able, despite all of those inclinations that are pulling him away from holiness, and despite the fact that his nefesh bahamas, his animal soul, is driving him further and further away from godliness, if that human being can wrench himself away from his physical obsessions and preoccupations and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's similar to the parakeet. It's similar to the bird that awakens or arouses the interest of the king because it's something unusual, it's something extraordinary. So this that Tzemach Tzedek explained is also the essence of Karbanis. The Karban meaning that now we no longer have Karbanis and our davening is in place of Karbanis. What is it about a Karban that's unusual? That somehow from this world of flesh and blood, from this physical world, there can rise up from this physical world service to the master of the world. That's a chiddush. That's something new. And when a person who is attached to this world turns his attention towards Hashem, that is something extraordinary, that is something new, that's a davar chadash. And because it's a davar chadash, then kivyochel, it's as if the king has your undivided attention for that time, because there's something extraordinary and something new. Here's this person down below, he's a fresh, you know, he eats, he drinks, and he goes to sleep, and he's involved in a million things, and he tears himself away to daven a mincha. He tears himself away to speak to the master of the world. That's a chiddush. That's something new. And Hashem turns his attention towards any person who engages in tefillah. But we haven't yet explained how is davening taken in and how is a crown being made in from the tefillahs and attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why, that's on the next page on Reish Ayin Vav. It begins with the words Bezohar Bereishis. Bezohar Bereishis. Reish Ayin Vav. The Zohar Bereishis Dav Dalim with Beis Man Deloy Toy Miriru LeMisku UMahapech Hashuch LeNahira Leis LeChulka Hocha. The Zohar says that a person who does not know how to change the bitter into sweet, a person who does not know how to change darkness into light, has no place in the world to come. V'zeu Inyan Tefila, the Tzemach Tzedek says. That is the deeper point of Tefila. Changing that which is bitter into something which is sweet. It's this week's parasha. Changing the bitter into something sweet. V'zevinyin tefila v'tayrish, ayideh tefila mahapech mimrilu l'misku. That through davening a person is able to transform, to change that which is bitter into that which is sweet. Al derech v'yimtako amayim. As it says in the desert, when the Jews could not drink the water, and then the water was sweetened, and they were able to drink the water. The deeper meaning of this is that bitterness, all bitterness in this world comes from the desires, from physical desires of this world. That's where all bitterness comes from. All of the lower physical, the base physical needs of this world are coming from the hecholos of the klipas, the chambers of impurity. All of the physical pleasures of this world, even the simplest and what seems to be the most harmless pleasure, all of these, even someone who likes to pay a little bit too much attention curling his hair or taking care of her hair. The energy that a person has to become involved in these physical acts, the energy for those physical acts comes from what are called the hecholos of the klipas, which means the chambers of impurity. Therefore, Chazal tells us that Yosef was punished because he was too involved in his hairstyle, whatever that means. All of the tzaris, all of the problems that Yosef HaTzadik had were the result of his preoccupation with his hair, with physical things. And a person, the job of a person in this world is to change, to undergo this change, to cause this change with that which was bitter, all the bitterness of this world is transformed to something which is sweet. Tamru uki tayv Hashem, oz tisanag al havaya. In other words, Hashem put us into this world, and this world is filled with all kinds of physical temptations. And the most natural thing in the world is for you to become involved and preoccupied with physical things. And those physical things come from the root of bitterness. But Hashem gave us this world that we should have the ability to transform the bitter into that which is sweet. And that's the deeper meaning of sacrifices, where an animal, a behemoth, where the fat and all the rest of the animal is suddenly drawn into the fire of the Ola, and instead of it being a low physical thing, the animal is lifted up to the highest realm of spirituality by becoming burnt on the altar, on the Mizbech, in the Ola. V'nichlal ba'esh l'mal, it becomes included in the fire from above. Asha toichal al Mizbech leos yisher rech nichoach l'Hashem. And that which a moment ago was a fashtunkin behema, all of a sudden becomes a rech nichoach l'Hashem, becomes the most fragrant, delicious thing to Hashem. Because the point of creation is to lift the physical world, which is bitter, and to transform it into something which is sweet. Because there is something that's above the bitterness, and that's what we're going to come to the crown in a few moments. There's something that is above the bitterness. It's true that all physical desires descend into our lives through the chambers of impurity. But there is a way for a person to reach above the chambers of impurity and to reattach those desires to the original source of creation, which is above all of the ugliness, above all of the bitterness, which are the chambers of the king himself, which goes back to the crown of Hashem. And davening is now in the place of karbonis. And the purpose of tefillah is lahalhiv nafsho be'eshul amalus anaglavaya. And the very purpose of davening is to awaken this fire within you, and to take that fire and to use it to serve Hashem, and to delight in Hashem. V'inyin is hapra chashuchel nahira hu shechoyshech agash mishal olam hazeh. Ma'aseh shemayim v'aretz shenirim liyesh v'dav agashmi is hapach l'dahayr liyes bagili or ein sof. And the meaning of this is to change the darkness into light, the darkness of physical existence of this world, all of creation, to transform it into light. L'moshel, for example, when you look at the Shemoneh Esrei, this is what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. When you look at the daily Shemoneh Esrei, so the essence of the daily Shemoneh Esrei are the simple physical requests for things that we need. So the middle 12 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei consist of, I need to have parnasa to make a living, so I need to have a refuah, somebody is sick. We're asking for the most simple physical things. Now, generally, those physical needs in the world are attached to the chambers of impurity. Because let's face it, most of the world are using these physical things when it comes to parnasa. So what's the parnasa being used for? A person makes money. What does he use his money for? So we ask Hashem that you should have intelligence. So what do people use their intelligence for? And so on. So that's all part of the bitterness of physical life that comes from the chambers of impurity. But in davening, what can you do? If a person is able during davening to redirect one's attention and to uplift those needs, and to like the behemoth that's brought upon the Mizbech, to take your simple needs and to put them on the Mizbech, on the altar, and lift them up to a higher place, that they're no longer simple, base physical needs, but they become the needs of a Jew to serve Hashem. So I need parnasa. Why do I need parnasa? I need parnasa not only that I should be able to afford to eat and so on, but I need parnasa that I should be able to give tzedakah, to give charity. I need parnasa that I should be able to send my kids to yeshiva, that I should send other kids to yeshiva. I need parnasa to help people out who are desperately in need. And so it is with all the requests. I need intelligence. What I need intelligence that I should be able to study Torah. I need intelligence to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. And so it is with all of this in Shemoneh Esrei. That's why the Maharal explains that we begin Shemoneh Esrei with three blessings to praise Hashem, and we end Shemoneh Esrei with three blessings to thank Hashem. Because the Maharal says that we begin and we end with the praise and the thanks of Hashem to remind us that those middle blessings, the 12, where we're asking for our physical needs, they're only meaningful in the context, in the broader context of praising and thanking Hashem, of serving the Master of the world. If there would just be those 12 blessings, give me, then it's not part of serving God. But once they're wrapped up in the outer layer of the of praising and thanking, then the person is shaken to remember that, sof kol sof, why do I need a panasa? Why do I need to make a living to serve the master of the world? And why do I need my health? And why do I need the health of my children? That we should serve Hashem. So in doing so, the most base physical things are put on the fire of the Mizbeach and are lifted up to Hashem. Instead of remaining low and impure, these things are lifted up to a higher place on the Mizbeach of Davening. That's what he's saying. That's how the darkness is changed into light. Kamal Lamala. V'hainu sh'ayidei b'chines toyim miriru l'misku shul mimata l'mala l'hapach libo v'tarvis olam hazel l'dovka b'yizbarach v'tshuka v'tzimon. Instead of being hungry and thirsty for things of this world, you take those very same hungers and thirsts and you transform them into things that are spiritual. Yoyer or Hashem milamala lamata, by you lifting up that fire, by you igniting that fire down here below, just like by the sacrifice, then Hashem in turn sends his fire from above to below to meet your fire. As it happened with the Karbonis, that a fire would descend from heaven to meet your fire that would ascend from below. And it's the same thing with davening. If you make that effort to lift your physical needs up to Hashem, then Hashem in turn sends that fire of bracha and good things down from the world above. So that all the physical things of this world shall no longer hide Hashem's presence. And that, by the way, you remember when Yitzchak Avinu, one of the most disturbing parashas of Torah is the love that Yitzchak had for Esav, right? Why does Yitzchak love Esav? And Yitzchak only wants to give a blessing to Esav. He only wants to give a bracha to Esav. So the Zohar Kodesh says that when Yitzchak, you remember, before Yitzchak was going to give Esav a bracha, he told him to go out and hunt and to bring him back some delicacies. In the Zohar, that's interpreted in this way. The Zohar explains that Esav's role in creation, which, by the way, as we spoke about here in Shul, was the same as Leah Imenu. That's why the match was made, that they were originally supposed to get married. That Esav's role in creation was to be the hunter. He was meant to be a hunter. Now, it didn't mean that he was supposed to be out there day and night with a bow and arrow. Being a hunter for Hashem means being the kind of person who can go out there. Esav was supposed to be a person that wasn't going to sit necessarily in Karlo, you understand? Yaakov Avinu was the one that was sitting in Karlo. Yaakov Avinu is the one that sits in yeshiva day and night. Ish tom yoshev ohalim. That was Yaakov Avinu. And he brings delight to Hashem in his own way. But according to the Zohar, Esav could have brought to Hashem even greater delight. How? Because Esav was supposed to be that hunter out there in the world, that business person, that person who's all day long surrounded by the kind of physical things that we were learning about last time, who's finds himself submerged in that world of animalistic desires and temptations. And in that world, Esav had the koach, had the power to hunt for Hashem. And when Yitzchak said to bring back delicacies, the Zohar says those were the delicacies. It didn't mean just time to bring back some supper. The delicacies meant go out into the world and hunt and bring back delicacies to the master of the world. You understand? And that, according to the Zohar, is the world of the Baal Tshuva. The Baal Tshuva is a person who was out there. In other words, he was in the bitter world of impurity. And he was working kivyochel in the earlier time of his life for those who appointed over the chambers of impurity. And the Baal Tshuva was out there, and then he turns himself or herself around and brings back from that very same world of impurity delicacies to serve Hashem. Which means on the simplest level, that all that the Baal Tshuva acquired that was originally used for things that were not holy, now all become drawn into the world of holiness. Some of the finest teachers in yeshivas come from that world, you know, of Baal Tshuva. Where the yeshivas are saying you can't, you know, don't go to college, don't go to college. But on the other hand, they want all their teachers, their English teachers, to be very fine B'nai Torah and B'nai Torah. So if the very fine B'nai Torah don't go to college, and the very fine girls don't go to college, so to speak, and that I'm talking about in that oilam, I'm not talking about from the more modern yeshivas, but from that oilam, they're not going to college. So where they're supposed to get these tzaddikim who are teaching English? Well, sometimes if you know what kind of caliber if you have some of these English teachers, you understand that that there is no easy solution. But on the whole, where are they going to get these teachers from? From people who came from a more modern background, or people who came from a non-religious background. And now they're in yeshiva, and the very same talents that might have originally been associated with the world, with the secular world. I don't use the world of impurity because they're not necessarily things that would be used for impurity, but certainly not in the world of holiness, are drawn into the davka now into holiness to serve the master of the world. And so it is with bichlal. That's the whole. Maybe there's a chair on the other side, Rick. I don't know if there's any other extra seats down there. The back room, yeah. That's what's meant by transforming the bitter into sweet. So when Yitzchak sent Esav out to hunt and bring back delicacies, the Zohar's understanding of that is that Yitzchak was sending that personality of the Baal Tshuva, that Jew who was meant to contend with the world, and from the world to bring back delicacies to Hashem. And that, in fact, according to the Zohar, was a higher level of serving Hashem than the service of Yaakov Avinu. And that's why I mentioned to you 2 weeks ago that the Baal Tanya was envious of the Jew who in the middle of the busy work day, and with customers screaming and yelling at him, he says, excuse me, he goes to the back, and he gives a krechs, and he davens minchas. We spoke about last week that the Tanya said that he's jealous of such a davening. And how can the Baal Tanya be jealous of such a davening? The Baal Tanya, when he was davening, would shake the world. And yet he was jealous of the guy that chapped one of those 30-second minchas in the back of the store. Because the Tanya said that in order for that Jew to had a million customers screaming at him, and he did not have the Tanya's mind, he did not have the Tanya's heart, he did not have the upbringing, he did not have the immense spiritual sensitivity of the Tanya. And with all of those things that stood in opposition to him, he screamed out, Rebbeinu Shlomo. He turned to the master of the world, he went hunting. That's called hunting for Hashem. That's called hunting. That also, Al Pi Kabbalah, by the way, is the job of one particular tribe. You know, which tribe among the Jewish people go out there to the oceans to bring back wonderful treasures to Hashem? Zvulun. The very same tribe of Zvulun that according to Chazal has the main responsibility for supporting the scholars, supporting Talmid Chacham. Zvulun, the description, if you look in the brachas of Zvulun, I don't want to spend time going into that, right? But if you look into the brachas of Zvulun by both Yaakov Avinu in Vayichi and in Zosar Brocha by Moshe Rabbeinu's Brocha of Zvulun, you will see that the defining characteristic of Zvulun is that they have the power to go out to the oceans, to the seas, to distant islands and lands, and to find their hidden treasures and bring them back to shore. And according to Kabbalah, the meaning of that is to find the hidden treasures that are dispersed among all the physical things of this world. And that's the purpose of creation, to elevate the physical things of this world. So that the main exercise, the main time when we exercise that ability to transform the bitter into sweet, the darkness into light, the main time that takes place is through the avodah of tefillah, of davening. That's the main avodah of tefillah. Now he explains the medrash that we began with 2 weeks ago. Again, the medrash that we saw stated that this malach attaches crowns to Hashem. These crowns are made from the tefillos and the davening of the Jewish people. So he explains. Ubezeh yuvan, it's after the three dots. Ubezeh yuvan, inyan mayim chazal, on page Reish Ayin Vav. Mayim chazal, I'm sorry if you don't have enough pages to... Ubezeh yuvan, inyan mayim chazal, shematatren kayishek sarim lekoinim tefillosein she Yisrael. That is the meaning that the angel attaches crowns to Hashem through the tefillos of the Jewish people. The malachim are malim the tefillos. We're not allowed, God forbid, to daven to angels. And that's a big problem. That's why you have that whole machlokas about the part of slichus at the end of slichus. Remember, the slichus, when we say it, there's a whole, the Maharil was again saying it. In slichus, machnisa rachm, machnisa rachmen, demosenus, nebala. So there's a whole machlokas because there were people. Some of the achronim were afraid that people are going to start davening to angels, God forbid. But the same thing when a Jew goes to daven by the grave of a tzaddik, which we'll talk more in the halacha class in the future weeks, to go daven, you're not davening to the tzaddik. You're davening to Hashem in the schus and the merit of the tzaddik, or you're asking that tzaddik to lift your tefillahs up to Hashem, just like you're asking malachim to carry your tefillahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says in the slichas, to bring our tefillahs into Hashem. So he explains that a human being, lefisha dibra adam hu gashmi, the speech, the words of a human being are physical. V'amalachim hem ruchniyim, and angels, of course, are spiritual. Sha'adibra shalem hu kamay machshav v'shalonu. When malachim speak, it's like human beings are thinking. The equivalent of human being thinking. And as a malach doesn't possess physical speech. Va'idei ha-malach, ha-makabal ha-tfila, mizdakekes ha-tfila migashmius l'ruchnius. Now, for our purposes here, let's not think of angels, little, you know, things flying around and so on. The malach means, for our purposes here, you know when Chazal say that every time a Jew does a mitzvah, you create a malach, right? You create a good malach. And every time, God forbid, a Jew does something that's not right, he makes a schlechter malach, a bad malach. And that's true. It means that when a person does, whatever a person does, creates, generates some type of spiritual energy. Either positive or negative force of spiritual energy is generated, is created through the actions of a Jew, which are either positive or negative, either bitter or sweet. Right? So, the meaning of a malach, carrying your tefillas up to Hashem, you are a physical being and your words are physical words. They're coming from Bas of Adam, from a physical being. The meaning of a malach taking your tefillas means that your tefillas have been said with enough intensity, your tefillas have been said with enough sincerity, that the physical words that have left your mouth have the power to create this spiritual energy. Have the power to create the spiritual energy. For instance, I give this example. It's pretty stupid, but it's the one that always seems to come to mind. I guess it has to do with, you know, spending too much time in early years in amusement parks. But you know these amusement park makes thousands of dollars getting some guy to show off his girlfriend by giving a clap on the thing and the hammer, and you hit the thing that goes up and gives a ring. If you're really a pirate, you can go all the way to the top. So, kivyochel, I mean lahavdil, when it comes to davening, sometimes, you know, when you davening is not going bichlal, it's like you just barely gave a little tap, you know, you give a little, so you go, you know, ashvishav itself, I do it myself, so you see like the thing goes, but it's not much to show off to your girlfriend about, you understand? But if you go with a tefillah, it doesn't have to be screaming. I mean, the Baruch Shalom knows how to read. It doesn't have to be loud. No one has to know. It's like a lo barash without screaming and yelling. But Hashem knows. But if you give a good tefillah that comes from the very essence of who you are, and you send up a tefillah and go, ding, gives a clap. Because that tefillah has the koyach to penetrate all the worlds. Because that tefillah has created an enormous amount of spiritual energy that is no longer a physical world. It's defined as a spirit, as a malach, which is a koach of spiritual energy. Same thing when a person learns. If a person learns b'tchila rechimu, if you learn Torah, not stam, you learn to show off. You know, who could slug up the Rebbe? Who could ask a better kasha? But you learn for the purpose of serving Hashem. So that creates malachim. That's why the word Gemara, right? Gemara stands for Gavriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel. In the word Gemara, you have the names of the angels, the major angels, the main angels, right? Gemara, Gavriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel, the letters Gemara. That when a person learns, when you learn, you put your kaychas into learning. It's the same thing. You're doing it with the love and fear of Hashem to serve the master of the world. That's time to show off. So then it creates unbelievable spiritual energy. So the transformation of that which is bitter, all physical life, into something which is sweet, a malach. That takes place when the words of tefillah are said with intensity and with sincerity. Mimela, they become part of that fire of the mizbeach, and they're lifted up to Hashem. That's what he says, that the tefillah becomes is mizdakekes at tefillah megashmius l'ruchnius. It becomes refined. It becomes changed from physical to spiritual. Ayidei ha-malach ahu, through that malach, that spiritual energy. V'hine gavo me'al gavo ad oylam hel yoin shabo. Mishamish, it shouldn't be in London, it's a mistake. Mishamish Matatron. Now that angel, Memtes, that's the highest malach. That's all, that malach is all the way at the top of that scale. That malach is all the way on top. That's Memtes. Now that malach is Koshek Sorm Shalom Malam Meharoshum Moichim. Let me explain something, because it's a little bit Alpikabala, but just talk very, very poshit. This is something that people who have been learning here for a while, and we've spoken about before. The three highest koiches in the world, in the universe, and in the human being, are called Chabad. No, Chabad means Chokhmah Bina Das, which means one's intellectual abilities. That doesn't have to do with how smart you are. It means one's meditating and thinking about godliness. But that's the greatest quality of human being that distinguishes him from all other creatures is his ability to think. But there's something, there's a koach that's above Meichin. That's above the intellectual koiches. Even though I said to you that those are the three highest koiches within the realm of human activity, there is something that is called... Again, I'm not going to get into any of the Kabbalah things here, but there's something that's called the Keser, the crown. The crown is worn above the head. The head symbolizes the intellect. The mind symbolizes understanding and intellect. But the crown is worn above. The crown is worn on top of the head. The crown, the keser, is that which transcends all that is rational, all that makes sense, all that you understand. It's a however bracha you can bring down to the world. The ability to bring things into your life with bracha, through making brachas and through a tzaddik giving you a bracha and so on. Bracha has the power to take something which is there and to draw it down to the lowest realms of your physical life. Now, the highest realm of life is Chabad. Chabad means those three higher forms of energy that relate to the intellect. And with Hashem Kivyachol, they're also the three highest spheres, the three highest realms of godliness are called Chabad. The purpose of a bracha, or the result of a bracha, is that you're able to draw from that higher realm of Chabad what's already been determined, what's already there, and to draw it down into the world. For instance, let me make this very simple. Okay. Very often, when learning Torah, this is probably with other disciplines as well. Let me use something that's not the straightforward Torah. I'll use another discipline. When I was in college, even though I was not majoring in the sciences, but we were required to take a biology course, and part of the biology course was lab. And I decided I wasn't going to attend the lab because it was interfering with my basketball schedule. So I didn't attend the lab, and I was a chacham instead of a big knacker. So I decided it's not a problem to have all these pictures in the book. So I'm going to look at all the pictures, and you get beautiful, all different colors. You know, pictures of what? Of the chazah. They gave all the rest of the chevra when they would go to the lab. They would dissect the pig. So I have to go spend the whole night with the chazah. So I wasn't going to do that. So I decided that instead I would just look at the pictures, and I would have no problem acing the exam. Now the exam, as I'm sure many of you have taken this kind of exam, you come into, you look at this chazer, and there are pins all over the place, and you're supposed to identify what is that part of the chazer the pin is sitting in. I didn't recognize one thing. It didn't look at all like it was in the book. And the book is the most authentic thing. Like it had this plastic laminated things like the overlays, and it was unbelievable. The most advanced book in the world. And I memorized the whole thing. I was looking at this part of the chazer, this the chazer's heart, the chazer's liver, this kishka, whatever. I memorized the whole chazer. And when I got there, and they brought me in front of this chazer, it could have been the Seel HaZozel. I wouldn't have recognized the difference between the chazer and the Seel HaZozel. It was all the same to me. And I just didn't recognize a thing. Why? Everybody knows, and it's a double pashit, that something can remain in the intellectual realm, in the higher realm of one's being, and it never ever is drawn into the lower physical realm. Everybody in this room is filled with all kinds of good thoughts and ideas of what we should be like, and how we would like to talk to our children, and how we would like to lift ourselves up, and what's right and what's good. Chabad, by us, is gewaldig. But in terms of drawing the Chabad all the way down through Chagas and Netzach, Hag Yisai, till it comes to Malchus. Malchus means the kingdom of your life. What you do, there are many, many obstructions. Many obstructions. Now, a bracha, one of the most wonderful and wondrous things in the world is to go to a true tzaddik. So when the tzaddik gives you a bracha, when you step in front of your Yitzchak Avinu, he gives you a bracha, or your Yaakov Avinu gives you a bracha, then the bracha has the ability to shake something out of Chabad and to bring it down all the way to the world of Malchus. That's what a bracha can do. Tefillah is greater. Because tefillah has the power of, as the Tzemach Tzedek said last week, well, he said it 100 years ago, but we learned it last 2 weeks ago. Tefillah has the power of Yehi Ratzon. Yehi Ratzon means what in English? Yehi Ratzon? It should be your will. It should be your will. Not a bracha, which is, this is your will, and you know, help me work it out in my life. That's a bracha. Tefillah creates will. How could that be? Now, whenever you say the word will, or desire, according to Kabbalah, you have now you have now entered into a new zone of reality. It's called the crown. That's called Keser. The crown means Ratzon. Why does Hashem love the Jewish people? Fekta Kasha. So if your answer is the reason that Hashem loves the Jewish people is because we're smarter, we're better, we're nicer, we do better on SATs or whatever. If that's why you think that Hashem has chosen us, that would seem to imply that our Jew who is not smart and is not serving Hashem, was not whatever, so he's not chosen, God forbid. Unless you come up with some idea that, well, he's the children of someone who's, he's the child of a chosen person, because you're the child of a chosen person, then you're also chosen. If you say that, you're wrong. You push it wrong. The Jewish people, the choice, Hashem's choice of the Jewish people has no explanation. It's not B'tam B'Rotzen. It says B'Ferish in the Svar Makadosh and Arizal said, it's not B'tam B'Rotzen. It's Lamala. It's not B'Seichel B'tam. It's Lamala. It's from that place, which is called the crown. That's what I want. I like it. That's what I want. This is what I want. Why do you want it? I want it. Why do you like that person? How come I don't like that person, you like that person? The very same person you hate and this one loves. It's a Ratzon. That Ratzon, that desire, that will, rises above the level of Chabad. It's not anything that was ever there. It's not anything you ever thought about. Kivyachal, even with Hashem. Even with Hashem, Hashem thought of everything. There's no such thing. So we're only talking about how Hashem appears to us in our lives. Davening has such immense power because the whole point of davening is changing the bitter into sweet. That's what we've been talking about. Of working on yourself and your physical needs and lifting them up and putting them on the mizbeach of spirituality. Davening has such a koach that it actually rises to that place that is called the crown. That's called the crown. Because you went against everything you felt like doing to serve Hashem. You went against everything to change the darkness into light. And all of davening means that transformation. Now because your actions were completely in opposition, were completely opposed to what made sense. You know, if a person to be shomer mitzvahs, you have to be a mishugana nowadays. No, you have to be a little bit crazy. In a good way. The Nevi'im were called crazy, right? In Tanakh, the Nevi'im were called mishugoyim. Prophets were called lunatics. Why? To be a successful prophet, you had to be a mishugana. Mishugana doesn't mean some kind of guy that goes around, rolling his eyeballs. The mishugana means that you have to be a person who could look at all of reality and say, nevertheless, I opt for something else. When you do that, and that's what davening means, when you do that, then it awakens kivyochel, the highest will of Hashem, because you exercise that ratzon to be a Jew. In doing so, you have transformed everything from darkness to light, and you have reached that place that's called the crown, and the kivyochel Hashem is baruch, is meshuga for you. And there's something new that comes to your life. That wasn't something that was in the marechas in that system that was operating according to the regular give and take of midah k'negin midah, measure for measure. That's what he explains. Now, let's say God forbid a Jew sins. So there's a rule that when you sin, you're supposed to get punished. That's the rule. Nevertheless, davening, as everybody knows, has the power to nullify a decree of punishment. Davening has the power to nullify that decree. Because why? Through davening, he says, Nimshach Ritzon Ha'elyon, you are able to draw into your life the higher will of Hashem. Shalomal Mabichinis Chachma. That's above the rational world. You know, in the rational world, everything fits in. And in that world of Chabad, and that which is rational, Hashem also operates according to the laws of rhyme and reason, which mean that this guy didn't have Aveira, so Hashem opens up the files, and it says in the files that if you do this Aveira, Hashem says that this is what the punishment is for that Aveira. That's Chochmah. Chochmah dictates that Hashem punishes in accordance to the Aveira. But if a person is able with davening to change the darkness into light and the bitter into sweet, so that person is touching the place that's called the Ratzon HaElyon, which is above Chochmah. That's above Chabad. And everybody knows that when a child, that even though you're prepared to punish the child has done something, but if the kid says just the right word, it gives a certain kind of a look, then it touches the place of Ratzon, which is above Chachmah. Everything about you is telling, everything in your Chabad system is telling you, give the kid a clap. Everything in Chabad is telling you, deny the kid this treat. But if the child touches something in you, from the place of Keser, then instead of, at the very same moment that you were expected, al pi Chachmah, to give the kid a patch, you find yourself like sitting in a restaurant with him, giving him supper. And someone's looking at this and says, yeah, this is terrible. What kind of parent are you? You're not disciplining. You don't know what you're doing. Your kid did something terrible. You're supposed to punish the kid. I'll be chachma. You're right. I'll be chachma. You're right. But there's something that I can't explain to you, that the way that the child says something, and those words touch the place of Rotson. And that's called the crown. And when the crown is touched, so then it unleashes a new Ratzon, and that new Ratzon is more powerful than any other of the Ratzonis that fit into the rational world of Chabad all the way down to Malchus. So even though it's true that a person sins and God forbid he should be punished, Abla Yidei Tefillah Hi Ratzon Nimshach Ratzon Elyon Shel Malchus Mibchinas Chachma V'Shamu Rachmim Pshutim. Because we know that in that place of Keser of Crown, that's called the place of Rachamim Pshutim, which means simple, simple compassion. After you go through all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what He's revealed to us in this world, all 10 spheres, and you rise up through Malchus all the way up to Chochmah. After that, all you have is Rachamim Pshutim, which means what? Just like with a parent. Simple compassion and love. Watson. That's what it means. Like the Chazan davens for before Musaf and the Yom Neroim and Hinani Hani Mimas, right? That Hashem, may you cover up all of our sins with your love. That means may our davening touch the place of the crown where all of our sins will be covered with your love for us. That doesn't mean that you can ask Hashem, let us off the hook. Or you're not allowed to say, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to say that Hashem doesn't care about Aveiros. God forbid, Hashem cares about Aveiros. But you're asking Hashem, you hear Ratzon, the whole davening is, may it be your will, may my tefillah create a new will, that will unleash the rachmim, shoot them, the simple love and compassion, which is mezgaber, which is mezgoylel al the midas hadin, which completely washes away the attribute of strictness and judgment. That's what he explains. And that place of Keser of the crown, which is simple compassion, all judgment is sweetened. Because by you transforming the bitter into sweet, Hashem gets up from his throne of din, of bitterness, of judgment, and of punishment, and places himself in that world of the crown, which is the throne of compassion and mercy. In other words, you went against what you wanted, Kivyoch, so to speak. You went against everything that made sense in order to serve Hashem. And your tefillah and the whole tefillah, all of tefillah is like a carbon where you bring your most simple, base physical needs, but you lift them up to something which is deeper and something which is spiritual for the purpose of serving Hashem. And you tear yourself away from your physical life to bring yourself to davening. That's why so many chazals describe how precious tefillah is to Hashem, and especially tefillah b'tzibur, that a person should get up and should daven in minyan. Have a chance to plug the minyan here. To be able to get up and to go into to daven, because you know that al pisecha, when you're lying in bed, and you can stretch out another 15 minutes because you're like this. If you daven, everybody makes a cheshvan. If I go to shul, it's 15 minutes like this and 20 minutes like that. And if I stay in bed, so I could sleep a little bit longer, and then I'll be able to. It's not like I'm not going to daven. I'll daven, but it's going to shul and have to park and then have to have kedusha, and then they're probably going to say tachlon today. So you have all these different things that you have to get involved in. You have to answer kaddish and baruchu and all these things. We had one of the guys was joking last week. They had one of the chevri here in shul has a very long name. Three names, and his father has three names. So the gabbai said, we can't give you an aliyah during the week anymore. Sorry. It just doesn't work out. Six names, I'm sorry. It's too much. It takes up too much time. It's a joke, because you go to these minyanim, you know how it is. before you open the siddur, if you're finished. So you make a cheshbon, listen, like this, I stay in bed, it'll be good. You stay in bed, al pi seichel, if you only have to be at the train by 7:30, al pi seichel, the whole world seichel says you squeeze out whatever you can from sleeping, right? The whole seichel of the world says that. And that person gets up, and he takes himself out to daven, and he goes and he walks into a shul. Who can measure? Aimless shy, you can't measure how precious that is in God's eyes. And that you're already starting off your davening by changing the darkness into light, the bitterness into something. You begin davening in such a way. You know how much chen that Jew has in the eyes of God? How much chen? Whenever we daven, even if we're not davening in shul, but any time a Jew, listen, they say from the Rishna before he died, said, it's an arichas. I'm just going to say in one second, maybe I'll explain it more one time before. The Rishna said before he was nifter that there's going to come a time, he was looking ahead to the future, there's going to come a time where the leaders of the Jewish people are going to be so far from holiness, and it's going to be so unbelievably difficult to do a mitzvah. And there's going to come a time, he said, there's going to come a time when those people who perform mitzvahs are mocked and ridiculed. And when that time comes, the vision is said, a Jew who gets up in the morning and says, Moida Ani, and still remembers who's the Ani and who's the Lefanecha, who he is and who God is, and says, Moida Ani, he says, that Jew will be so choshev in God's eyes at that time, will be so important in God's eyes. And then he was quiet, and he said, how choshev will he be? And everybody was listening, and all of a sudden the visioner stood up, and he grabbed his bekesha, and he says, kamayni, as important as I am in this generation. That's what he said. The visioner said, as important as I am in the eyes of the world now, in the eyes of God now, at the end of time, a Jew who says Maidani and remembers who I am, who God is, that Jew will be that important in God's eyes. Like the visioner. So that's changing the darkness into light. That's what it means. And Mimela, that awakens within Hashem, the Rachmim Pshutim, the simple compassion and love that He has for us, like a father for a child. And then He explains, this is a beautiful thing. V'zeh Shomer Chazal, K'shei Yisrael, it's around 10 lines up, 12 lines up from the Vav. V'zeh Shomer Chazal, K'shei Yisrael, Oymim Yehei Shmei Golem Mavarech, it says in the Gemara, that when the Jewish people answer, Yehei Shmei Rabbim Mavarech, Lolem Lolmei Almaya. When we answer Kaddish, you can only do that in the Minyan, right? When you answer Kaddish, Yehei Shmei, may Hashem's great and awesome name be magnified and so on. When you answer that, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mananeh Berosho. It says when Hashem hears a Jew screaming out Yehei Shmei Rabba, Hashem shakes his head. He nods his head. What does that mean that Hashem nods his head? Peirush Mananeh Umamshich Berosho Hu Rotz Nehelyon Baruch Hu. Mananeh Berosho means that Hashem nods his head. That means that he's drawing down from the koiches that are above the head into our lives. That's what it means. He's nodding his head. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu is bringing that which is above the divine head of Hashem, the crown, and he's menaneh, which means to shake, to move, and he shakes and moves all of that higher, the highest energy from Keser. He's menaneh berosho. He shakes it berosho with his head, like the crown that's moved when the king shakes his head. He oisam avakshim yehei shmoi gadol mevarich shehei baruch v'nimshach shmoi gadol shlamal b'chinas estal shlushu gadol muhulam ahoy. Because that's what it means, Yehei Shmei Rabba. What does it mean, Hashem's great name? It means that which is above Chabad. That which is great. That means that which is pure compassion. That's what it means, Yehei Shmei Rabba. The great name of Hashem, which is from the place of the crown, which is above Chochmah. And that happens. How do we bring that higher Ratzon into our lives? Through our davening, and through our screaming, Yehei Shmei Rabba. By doing that, the angel takes those tefillos, we can't, they're physical words, but we create that spiritual energy that becomes that malach. And that malach has the power to ascend to the place of the crown, and then a new rotzen is created that descends into our lives. And Hashem is menaneh berosho. Just like in the Hebrew letters. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is rooted in something which is above anything which is physical. When you look at the letters, you see physical things, but the letters that are physical come from much higher. Every physical letter comes from an amazing spiritual form of energy that cannot be held in a physical body. Because the Aleph means a certain power. And the Beis means a certain type of energy. This is something which, remember, when I was in Farakway, I was once giving a class in the Aleph Beis, we got until Dalet over 2 years. We were learning the Aleph Beis. What each letter of the Aleph Beis means in Ruchnias, what that letter means. Until they come into the physical form of a letter, of a physical letter that you could see on a parchment. So the root and source of all physical letters, Mamish is all the way above. That even in one's thinking, sometimes when you have just a will and a desire, it hasn't yet taken the form of letters inside your brain. And then after you want something, you have a will, then you see certain letters in your brain that tells you what you want. Right? So it says what you want. You see like flashing up in the blackboard, you know, in your brain. Until finally you speak those words. So the letters of your davening, depending upon how intense they are, if those words are just spoken from the mouth, then you get very little, you're not getting too high up on the scale. But if your letters, when you daven, if they start off in your brain, and your rotz, and then your brain, and then they come into your mouth, so then those letters of tefillah have the power to energize, to activate those spiritual malachim that bring those koiches of your tefillahs all the way up to the keser to activate the Ratzon HaElyon. Mitzvah Hashem, next week, we're going to finish with one last piece from the Tzemach Tzedek on davening, which you'll see why it's necessary to understand a little bit of the fire of tefillah. And then in Mitzvah Hashem, after that, we'll begin with the Tzedek HaKohen from Lublin.